Take your Bibles, if you would, this Memorial Day and Graduate Sunday to Hebrews chapter number 11. We've been moving verse by verse through the book of Hebrews. Last Sunday, the interns and Pastor Kevin did a tremendous job in chapter 10. And the next Sunday, we'll be back with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. But I'll just have to wait a week after that, so before I preach, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I don't want to miss one week and then preach that passage that week. But no, I won't do that. But really, as you're looking at today for Memorial Day, this passage really stood out to me. We've been going on Wednesday nights for our refuel service, character by character, through chapter 11. On Sundays, we've been going through the book, and we come to really a crossroads here where it intersects. And I believe with the theme of the day, this is what the Lord has for us. Keep in mind, the writer of Hebrews is motivating these Hebrew believers to maturity. The book of Hebrews begins like an essay. It builds to a sermon and is brought to close by like a letter. The writer begins to proclaim the wonder of it all, as he, in chapter number 1, begins to declare Jesus. And then he begins to warn all. We find 5 parentheticals in this book. So he begins like that essay. He starts with prose, and then he begins to preach to these believers tempted to go back. But he lets them know, listen, there's nothing to go back to. Jesus is better. We find in the outline of the book of Hebrews, first, a better person. In chapter number 1, we've discovered that Jesus outspeaks the prophets. Jesus outranks the angels. Jesus will outlast the universe. There's nothing, there's nobody greater than Jesus. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than all the Levitical priesthood. Jesus is better. So there's the parentheticals. There's the preaching of Jesus is better. The wonder of it all, here's the warning, don't go back. Don't drift away. Go deeper. Don't doubt the word of God. Believe it. Don't be dull of hearing. Listen to God's word. So we find Jesus in his better person, then we see Jesus in his better priesthood. As we've gone through the book, we've seen the better sanctuary that's in heaven. There's a heavenly tabernacle. There's a heavenly place where we're headed to. And then the better sacrifice, how Jesus, through his shed blood, has invited us to come boldly before his presence. And we can pray, we can seek him. And so here's the preaching. Don't despise the word of God. Don't neglect that great salvation. Don't look away from God's word. Go into that holy place and pray and praise and seek his face. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now in chapter number 11, there's a better principle. And this principle is faith. All throughout the word of God, we find faith mentioned. We find things about faith, examples of faith. But here in chapter 11, we discover what faith really is. Chapter number 11, faith first is defined as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, here's the understanding, here's the proof, here's the presentation. You see, it's the substance. That word speaks of scientific proof for the scientific mind. There's substance. Faith is not a walk in the dark, it's a step in the light. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, that speaks of historical and legal proof, the faith defined. Science, the legal mind, historical mind. If you study the claims of God's word and the claims of Jesus Christ, you discover the truth and you can have faith and believe what God says. And then we see here faith expected. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe that he died for you. He was who he said he was, and he did what he said he did. He was buried and he rose again that third day. And by faith, you can be saved. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But here, what I love about Hebrews 11, and here's why we spent so much time on our refuel service. Faith illustrated. Substance, the evidence is, chapter 12 refers to them as witnesses. It's as if the writer of Hebrews begins to call to the witness stand to present for case study men and women who thought and finished by faith. Do you understand today that our job as believers is to simply be witnesses, to testify? One of the greatest proofs that God is real is that I've talked to him this morning. One of the greatest proofs that God is real in somebody's life is they have a relationship. I think of my parents and their testimony of faith. I think of those that live their lives by faith, and God is real in their lives. And you can see it, you can understand it, and you can say, there is a God. I think of those first believers, and we're going to see them, those disciples, you mentioned this on Easter, that gave their lives for the Lord. Nobody dies willingly for a lie, but these knew the truth of God. And the substance and the evidences and the witnesses are those who finished and fought by faith. Don't you like an example? I mentioned on Wednesday on our backpacking trip, where's Ryan? I didn't see him out this, Ryan Giles, there he is, not Ryan Vander, Ryan Giles. Ryan was with me, I mentioned on Wednesday, about a mile in the first day into the trip. The first couple of days, it was like Noah's flood there as it began to rain and everything was overflowing. And, you know, first couple of days, I'm like, this is not, people say, how was your trip? It was a struggle. It was a survival. And I'm thankful because we only went about a mile in the first day. And only a mile means over the first mountain, Hurricane Knob, which was aptly called. As we were trying to get wood for the fire, because one of the men that we go with likes to do things the rough and rugged and wouldn't allow for any matches or things of that sort or common sense materials to start a fire or flash broils or anything that anybody normal would do. So we had to dig into wood. Ryan had the machete, AJ had the machete. They were hacking away at the wood. And I remember when he first hit that and it bent and turned, and I stepped away. I was the camera guy on the trip. That's pretty much what I'm good for. He took that axe on the second round. He hacking away at some wood on the inside to get to the dry stuff. And he didn't hit the wood, he hit his leg. I don't want to ruin anybody's breakfast or upcoming lunch, but it was flowing. It was open down to the bone. I brought some bleed stop with me. Everybody ought to have bleed stop. I have 6 kids, so I've got bleed stop. We use practically every day. We just bathe them in bleed stock and just stop it. I had some bleed stop and instantly cauterized it. He went back a mile to the ER. While it was raining, I was with the boys. They went up, AJ and Ryan, got stitched up, fully expected him to go on back to civilization. Next morning, I wake up, and there's Ryan Giles with AJ at the campsite. And I'm looking at him with his stitches in his leg down to the bone. He's like, let's get going. 20 more miles. With stitches down to the bone. I'll tell you what, second day, I wanted out. And I'm like, this isn't a little pleasure walk in the woods. This isn't some sort of easy little peasy trip. And I'm not sure about it. We saw snakes, 8 snakes. It was quite the trip. But every time that I felt like quitting, and Joey felt like quitting, I would tell Joey and tell myself, I was telling Joey, but really telling myself, hey, look back at Ryan. Look at his leg. Look at the stitches. He's walking with an axe wound to the bone. And if Ryan Giles can do it, this needs to be on a t-shirt, Ryan. If Ryan can do it, I can do it. Hey, listen, that's the reason why we have Hebrews 11. Here's the substance. Here's the evidence. If they could do it, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, 16 men and women included in Hebrews chapter 11, if they could do it, if they believed God, they trusted God, they had faith without even the fulfillment of the promises, without the death, burial, and resurrection happening yet, without the Holy Ghost coming on the inside, they finish by faith. If they can do it, I can do it. If they believe God, I can believe God. If they can keep on keeping on, I can keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I love Hebrews 11, the honor roll of faith, the hall of faith, the hall of saints. These listed not because of their personality, not because of their talents or abilities, listed as examples of fighting and finishing by faith. Character by character, you've heard these names. We've gone into the Old Testament. We've studied their lives. But now we arrive from the known, we arrive at the unknown and the unnamed. Look at verse number 32. The last on the list, this is why we're bringing it to the Sunday morning, and of the prophets. Look at verse number 36. And others. Do you see the open-ended inclusiveness with the others? Those who are unnamed and unknown by man, but those that the Lord knew. Others. The list is open. That's why I believe that the cloud of witnesses could include those who are loved ones that have gone on before that fought and finished by faith. Others. I'm glad it's not just those listed by name. It's others. I'm glad it's not those in the Old Testament that could fight and finish by faith. But if you're saved today, you can live for God. You can stand for God. You can finish the course that the Lord has laid out for you. Fight the good fight. And others. Look at verse 38. Here's a parenthetical, but he's not preaching, he's praising. You see it in parentheses? It really doesn't fit grammatically into the text, but it's included here as somewhat of a moniker statement of whom the world was not worthy. What a tremendous statement. Of whom the world was not worthy. Oh, so many young people this graduate Sunday, so many people live to be seen worthy of the world. But if your identity and your worth is founded in Jesus Christ, your worthiness is based in another world. And this world is not worthy. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And we can live our lives thinking about the worthiness of Jesus Christ. That's worship. Worthship. He is worthy. He is worthy. This world is not worthy, but he is. And if you live your life by faith, Scripture says this statement could be made of you, of whom the world was not worthy. Of course, contextually, it's speaking of the prophets and the others enlisted here or included with their actions, but this may include all who have given their all for the Lord. I think of the tomb, Arlington Cemetery, right in the center there is the tomb of the unknown soldier. It's guarded 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year by the old guard of the U.S. Army. It has engraved on it these words, "Here rests the honored, in honored glory, an American soldier known but to God." Look at that statement. "Here rests in honored glory, an American soldier known but to God." It's hard to step into that side and see that. Have you all been there? And not be moved by what those have done for us and for the freedoms we enjoy. This is a passage devoted to the unknown soldiers of God, the unknown servants of God, described as even the earth not even deserving of their presence. I like what C.S. Lewis said, if you discover in this life, in this world, that no experience can ever satisfy in this world, then it proves that we're meant for another world. Amen. How many of you have gone on a vacation? Some of you are on vacation watching online, only to discover you need a vacation from a vacation. How have you said, if I get that job, I'll make it happen, and then it's just more work, more money, more problems, all right? I get that paycheck, I have that issue. And it doesn't satisfy. Pascal, the philosopher, called it the God-sized hole in our soul that can only be filled with Jesus Christ. That's the worth. The worth that is found in another world. If no experience this earth satisfies, it just proves and shows that we're meant for another world. Listen today, this is not it. Life is but a vapor. It's here for just a moment. It vanisheth away. There are many here sitting today. I've quite recently even watched some funeral service with some friends that have lost loved ones. Aren't you thankful this life is not it? Amen. There is eternity. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And we want to challenge our graduates to give beyond the TikTok culture to get beyond Instagram worthy, Facebook and all these socials, listen, and get focused on Jesus. I'm not saying enjoyment and entertainment's bad. I'm saying it will never quite satisfy as like living for Jesus Christ, serving Christ, placing your hope and your value in another world, in another person, in another place. Jesus is better. Amen. That's the writer of Hebrews. Here's the grand finale. Here's the examples, one by one, listed by faith of those who live for the Lord. And there's the unknown. Let's move through the text this morning. First of all, I want you to notice some motivations of these unknown servants marked, engraved here in Scripture. First of all, their victorious accomplishments. Spirit of God lists out 9 accomplishments that these unknown accomplished by faith. First, some political accomplishments. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. I think about Joseph. I think about Moses. I think about Daniel. Joseph and Daniel subdued Egypt by promotion from within, as did Daniel in Persia. Moses subdued Egypt by power from without. I think of our founding fathers who constructed this great nation and founded on the freedom and the guidance of the Word of God. There in our history, we've subdued kingdoms in this country. My grandfather bravely fought in World War II. He landed in Normandy and received the Purple Heart when wounded in battle, the Battle of the Bulge, under General Patton. They subdued the kingdom of the Third Reich. Aren't you thankful today that they subdued that kingdom? By faith, God enabled us to win that battle. My other grandfather served in Korea, fought and faced the battle against communism, the spread of communism and socialism. And let me just be transparent with you this morning. We're fighting that battle from within today in America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. By faith, we can subdue kingdoms because his kingdom is eternal. They also saw some spiritual accomplishments. Look at the text. They wrought righteousness. That's faith behaving. By faith, they were able to live godly lives. They were able to obtain promises. That's faith believing and experiencing. Hey, you can live a life of testimony for God. You don't just have to hear about somebody else's testimonies. You can live a life of victory over sin. You can live a life of testimony what God is doing in your life. And through faith, you can experience what God has laid out in his word. I think about Daniel, the most difficult place you could possibly be, taken away from his culture, put into a position of training in a foreign country. But he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He took a stand as a young man on the word of God. And as an older man, he took a stand publicly. Listen, when the government said, you can't pray, he prayed anyways 3 times a day. And God protected him. Oh, he was able to live holy, live righteousness by faith, experience the promises by faith. I think about Jeremiah, who sought God's face for the end of the captivity. Oh, they experienced spiritual accomplishments, and so can you and so can I. Also, they experienced the miraculous accomplishments. I think about Daniel here in the text. Notice next, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of the fire. I think about Daniel in the den of lions. And I think about us coming across that water moccasin. That was the adrenaline, the fear that was there. Nothing compared to being in a lion's den. Can you imagine that? The impossibility, being in the den of lions, but God, through faith, Daniel was able to stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of the fire. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fourth man that was there, like under the Son of God, who stood rather than capitulated to culture, and God carried them through. Political, spiritual, miraculous, physical accomplishments, escape the edge of the sword. I think about David, who Saul, you thought you had in-law problems. Saul was chasing David every which way with the edge of the sword. And it's almost as if, almost like a Roadrunner cartoon. Here comes Saul, and there goes David, and here comes Saul. And God's protecting David every step of the way, preserved him, escaped the edge of the sword. Elisha calling upon the heavenly armies, calling down fire. Elijah. Wow, miraculous physical accomplishments. And then positional accomplishments. Out of weakness were made strong. Book of Judges illustrates God chooses the weak and foolish things of the world to confound the things that are mighty and wise. Look at the list of characters. in this list of Hebrews chapter 11, those that we know were listed harlots. Those that we know are listed murderers. Those that we know are those that walked away from God and experienced the chastisement and the punishment, but they came back by faith and God still used them. Aren't you thankful today that there's the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and two infinity chances on this side of heaven? If you just surrender your life to Jesus Christ today, if you confess your sins and forsake it and come to Christ, he'll cleanse you and he'll use you. Oh, he out of weakness. Sometimes he'll take that. He will take that weakness and he'll get glory from that story. Out of the weakness we're made strong. Military accomplishments. Notice, waxed valiant in fight. Joshua, we're talking about Joshua the other day, an Egyptian slave, a servant, an attendant to Moses. God empowered him to be the mighty conqueror who claimed Canaan. God used Joshua. Look at the text. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Intergalactic battles. No, that's not what it is. That's the outsiders that are coming in. Those that were invading. So moving into the land, they could conquer. Those that were coming into the land to take, they were able to defend. God got the victory. And then some supernatural accomplishments. Women received their dead raised to life again. In the days of Elijah and Elisha, too, testified of those that were dead, that were raised again. I'm motivated by their accomplishments. In the text finished here, you would have perhaps a claim to preach some sort of health and wealth gospel. Hey, if you get saved, hey, you're going to get the victory politically. If you get saved, you get the victory militarily. If you get saved, you follow God and you believe, you can experience the impossible, even resurrection in this life. But the story doesn't end there. It's not just the accomplishments, it's their afflictions that motivate me. Be motivated by their blessings, but also the full gospel, the full story is be motivated by their burdens. There are other examples that are listed here, not of those delivered from their foes, but in the mysterious sovereign will of God delivered over to their foes, that still God may get the glory through punishment, through pain, through deliverance. Either way, God gets the glory. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their spirit, as they're about to step into the fire, said, our God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we'll still serve him. That's the spirit we're to have. Others were tortured. About this time, many people check out. I don't want that. Not accepting deliverance. Really? Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. I don't know about you, but I've not come to that point yet. Where if I'm facing a struggle, I'm praying to get out. You know, sometimes when you pray and you seek God's face, your prayer begins to change, and it's not only not praying to escape as much as give me strength to endure. There were those that were suffering that wouldn't accept deliverance. They didn't want deliverance. They wanted to give God the glory. They didn't want the healing and the supernatural. They wanted to give God glory. That's a stage of Christian discipleship and development. I think of my grandmother. We thought we had the faith that she'd be healed. She came down with cancer and we would visit her. And I remember as a college student, I kind of had the zeal and faith of kind of an idea, a zeal without knowledge. And I looked at her and said, I believe you're going to get fully healed. And I'd pray for her, and I would declare things and try to pray. We all, our family was praying. She looked at me one day and she said, stop praying for that, because my healing will happen, if not here, in heaven. Amen. And she would smile every time we would visit her. She was spirit-filled. She would be singing. I remember her singing just Amazing Grace, singing to the Lord. And we'd walk in with sour dispositions. We're the ones with faith that God was going to heal her. If God doesn't heal her, it's not going to work out. She had faith and a sovereign God that could heal her here. But even if he did not, amen, God said no here, he had something better, amen, up there. That's faith. That's faith. When she passed away, I'm thankful for what she instilled in me and believe in God no matter what. And my cousin, when her mother passed away, began to angrily curse God right there by the deathbed. Do you understand today that this world is not our home? This life is not our life, if God healed us miraculously, if we never got old, if we never got sick, we would never want heaven. If every prayer was answered, if everything was, God's not some genie in a bottle, or if you say it's going to happen, you got to believe God and trust God and find his will for your life. Even if it involves what's listed here in the afflictions. Not my will, Jesus prayed, but thine be done. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered your hell on the cross. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was bruised and bloodied by the fist of man. Every step that he took was in a puddle of his own blood. He endured the cross because he loved us. He endured the cross. Hebrews 12 is going to go on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the, what, joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. What's the joy? Book of Jude. That one day he'll present you and present me faultless before the presence of the Father with exceeding joy. This is what got Jesus through the cross. You and me and his work of grace that would ultimately transform us into the image of himself. Jesus got joy on the cross for the change that he would work in my life. I should get joy in trials and count it all joy when I suffer tribulations because of the change that he's making in me. The afflictions. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. I think about Isaiah and tradition that was placed into a hollow log and sawn asunder. Tempted, slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Oh, their afflictions motivate me. If they could do it, so could I. If they could keep on keeping on, so can I. Amen. Belittled, beaten, bound, and bruised, they marched on triumphantly. Banished. The world did not count them worthy, but God said the world was not worthy of them. Notice their attainments finally, verse number 38. Here's that beautiful statement, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains. They were not backpackers. That's not the way that is. They wandered in deserts and mountains. They were homeless. Jesus said, the birds have, the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Here's where it comes home. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. He says the world was not worthy. They continued. They got the report. We received the promise. They had the shadows. We have the substance. They only heard about what would come and believed that Jesus would come. We know in his word that he did come. And he died for us. They had good things. We have the better things. Their sphere and horizon was earthly. Ours is heavenly. We have perfect, open, unrestricted access to God. The best they could have was to go to the tabernacle and offer their sacrifice. And once a year, that high priest would enter into the most holy place and the blood would be sprinkled and applied. But you and I who are saved, Jesus Christ entered into once into that holy place. He shed his precious blood. He sprinkled his blood for us. The atoning sacrifice, and now we have open, unrestricted access to God. Amen. We can pray. They had faith. With that earthly tabernacle, we have faith, and we are a tabernacle. That's the motivation. That's the encouragement. They could only see the shadow, Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus. The Spirit would only come upon them at times. At Pentecost, he indwelled believers. And we can be filled with the Holy Ghost over and again. And one day I will be with and like Jesus Christ. What does that tell us today, graduates? Here in this Graduate Sunday, members, those that are maybe struggling through times of difficulty, The Lord wants us to invest in what he invested in and shed his blood for. And number one, that's the souls of men. I remember in college, I was told by, I forgot the speaker, that he said a statement I wrote in my Bible. I took notes, and only two things are eternal: the word of God and the souls of men. And you'll never waste a moment of your life if you invest in those. The word of God, the souls of men. Everything else you see and experience in this life will be burnt up, will be gone. But the word of God and the souls of men are forever. Facing us today is a crossroads, trying to be worthy of the world or living worthy of the calling, walking worthy of the calling that he has given us by his will. Today, the decisions are very simple. Number one is to be saved. If you're not sure you're saved, today is the day of salvation. Number two is to surrender to God's will, no matter what that may be. And God has something great for your life. Number three, be in the word of God. Be soul winning. That's why Hebrews 10, let us draw near. That's faith. That's worship. That's praise. That's praying. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Witnessing, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Working together to provoke unto love and to good works. I heard of an elderly man, you may have heard this story. Paul Harvey would share that, the rest of the story. An elderly man would visit a broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return walking slowly and slightly stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this elderly man and he would feed them from his bucket. You see, many years before, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission on a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond reach of the radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane into the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water, the weather, and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts. The largest raft was 9 by 5 feet. The biggest shark was 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved the most difficult: starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and a miracle occurred. In Captain Eddie's words, Cherry, that's what the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, quote, read the service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer of deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out the glare, I dozed off. And something landed on my head. See, I knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everybody else knew too. No one said a word. But peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that seagull, and the gull meant food, if I could catch it. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Flesh was eaten, the intestines used to bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained, and their hopes were renewed because of a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as some sort of sacrifice. Captain Eddie made it. And now you also know he never forgot, because every Friday evening about sunset on the lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, there's an elderly man walking, white-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, slightly bent, bucket filled with shrimp to feed the gulls, to remember that one which in a day long past gave itself without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness. Let me tell you today, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross of Calvary as a substitutionary sacrifice for you and for me. He saved our souls. He saved us from an eternity of hell, that by faith, if we believe on him, we have the hope of everlasting life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He saved us. Amen. He redeemed us. He filled us. And so for the rest of our lives, we're just going out and telling people about Jesus, worshiping the one who redeemed us, giving back to the one who gave his all on the cross of Calvary. You want to live a life trying to be worthy of this world and experience all the pleasures? You'll find at the end of your life, like Solomon said, it's just all vanity, vanity of vanities. But if you want to live your life for Jesus Christ and the things that matter, the one that could save you from hell can save you from whatever else is happening in your life today. If you place your faith in him.